Hoy el informe.
Es Mike Smith.
¿Está aquí?
Yo sé al informe shortly. Just verifying you on the platform.
Thank you.
Hans Kruger heard about Germany. He's telling the meeting everything. Hey, guys, good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hello. Parliament what? Okay. Mado forward it to you. Okay. Chairperson. Chairperson. Chairperson.
Yes, present. Can I start?
Yeah, I think we can.
Yeah, please flag the meeting because I'm about to be called in the room. Who's on the platform, Ibrahim?
Members, got the minister, and got the DG, and then the...
Okay. I'm going to the room now. I will end for a while.
You want to put extra chat? We can...
Good morning, colleagues and minister. I'm just in the exam room with the doctor, so I'm requesting the committee to be left. And 18%.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, good morning. Good morning, Minister. Good morning, Chairperson of the SIDA Board, DG, and colleagues at large. Honorable members, the Chairperson has just indicated that she is going to doctor's room. So she had hoped that she would be able to start the meeting and then continue. So in the absence of the chairperson, as per rules of the National Assembly, we have to elect an acting chairperson. So right now I'll request members to raise hand for the election of the acting chairperson. And now I recognize the hand of Honorable Lubengo.
Thank you, Brakin. I'm suggesting Honorable Fayez to lead us today.
Thank you, Honorable Lubengo.
I second.
Okay. The name of Honorable Fayez Jacobs has been raised, and the Honorable, I believe, Honorable April, who has seconded it. Is there any name? So I take it there's no other name since Honorable members are quiet. So now we are going to request Honorable Jacobs to lead us as an acting chairperson for this session. Thank you very much, Honorable members. Honorable Jacobs.
Greetings, good morning, everybody, and thank you, everybody, for vote of confidence. Yeah. Chair, we wish you well at the doctor and a speedy recovery. Colleagues and members, the day is in front of us, opening and welcome and the purpose of the meeting. Consider yourself all welcome, especially our members, our executive, who's present, the minister and the deputy minister, the deputy director general, and all the officials. We want to also acknowledge those that on the social platform watching us from YouTube or on the Parliament channel. Welcome to today's Portfolio Committee of Small Business and Development. It's a continuation. Today we will get briefings from both the department and leader. So you all are very welcome. With that, we want to do roll call. I think we have we done roll call already, Mr. Kunene?
Not yet, Chairperson.
May you proceed to roll call and apologies?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. In the platform, I have recognized the presence of our Chairperson Siwela, who's in the rooms now, Honorable Jacobs, Honorable Kruger, Honorable Nkosi Luthuli, Honorable April, Honorable Mabiga, Honorable Chomelang, Honorable Lubengo, Honorable Mathuli Elwa, and then Honorable Mabiga, and Honorable Tibilias. So those are the members so far. They are in the platform, Chairperson. And then on the side of the executive, they also recognize the presence of the minister, Honorable Stella Ndabeni Abrahams, and then the TG and the colleagues from the entities. On the side of the apologies, Chairperson, I have received an apology from the Deputy Minister, who is attending them the course that has been called for Economic School of Governance Economic Cluster for executive managers. So she's attending that course. So those are the apologies that I've received. And right now I've just admitted Honorable Union. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We accept the attendance and also apologies. The next item is the adoption of the agenda.
Chairperson?
Yes,
Honorable Dejan. I'm also in attendance, but I'm not mentioned.
Our apologies. You are recorded and noted. Welcome, Comrade Honourable Member Mkhendane. Let's move.
Just before we adopt the agenda, just I was just wondering why don't we, especially on when we discuss the APPs of the department and their entities, why don't we also invite our colleagues on the NCOP to sit in this meeting? Because I think it's a very important meeting for them as well, because they also form part of the oversight and they must go and brief the provinces and so on. So I was just wondering why don't we always invite them to this meeting.
Let me check with the official, but I assume that the very same plans and budgets will go to the NCOP as a separate house. I'm just saying to be corrected. If that's the case, then there's a separate process there, but maybe officials can help me. Mr. Kuneni?
Yes, Chairperson, thank you. If members can remember, we did that, I think, just before COVID, where the both committees agreed that let's use a joint approach so that the department can also make one presentation instead of making two presentations in the portfolio committee and in the select committees. However, it is up to the of our principal to say should you continue that approach. So we did then, however, we did discuss with the secretary of the select committee only to find out that they had already scheduled their program, which is not the same as ours. So if I think it is in the hands of our principals, the chairperson, to discuss that, if that approach was doing well, we can refer back to it. We can get the directive from the principal. It becomes easier, and then it minimizes time that approach. So there's none that much of a road that says we cannot do that jointly. So we will hear from the principal. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much for that suggestion, Honourable Kruger, and also the response from our official. I think what we'll do is we'll check. It will be late for today, but I think we'll check going forward if there's any strategic sessions. It does make sense for us to work in a collaborative way, and certainly we will explore that. Thank you for that suggestion. Members, let's go to the third point on the agenda, the adoption of the agenda. Can I get a mover and a seconder or addition?
Yeah, I move that we adopt the agenda as on the screen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairperson, I second.
Thank you very much. I thought Honourable Lupenga was also doing that, but so we have the adoption of the agenda by Honourable Kruger and second by Honourable April. Thank you very much, members. Then let's go straight into the business of the day. The first item is briefing of strategic annual performance plan and budget by SEDA, the Small Business Enterprise Development Agent. Before I hand over to the SEED board and chair and the CEO, I want to invite the minister to lead her team and maybe just give us some opening remarks. Minister, over to you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to all the members at the portfolio committee and all guests on the call. Chairperson, if you allow, can I not be on camera because of my
note? Yes. Permission accepted.
Thank you, Chair. once more. Chairperson, we want to thank the Portfolio Committee for giving us an opportunity to present our annual performance plan for this financial year. The global economy remains highly constrained, Honourable Members, with the COVID after effect. The general slowing of the Chinese growth over the past few years and the Russia-Ukrainian conflict. Again, the IMF suggests that up to one third of countries across the world may fall into recession this year. All these tend with together with challenges of low shedding will constrain our growth as a country for this financial year. Honourable Members, it is evident looking at comparative countries around the world that SMEs are increasingly becoming the engine of inclusive economic growth and job creation. And in our situation, this is aligned with the NDP, which already suggests that most new jobs and economic value will come from the sector that we are responsible for. But to unlock the potential of our sector, we need to address issues of market concentration and barriers to entry, access to finance, entrepreneurship and technical skills, and business women support, especially through incubation. This Honourable Members, you will recall that it is aligned to the country's economic reconstruction and recovery plan, which suggests that we need to scale up value chain localization and increase market access for SMEs and cooperatives, especially those that are from townships and underserved rural communities. The ERRP also places emphasis on cutting red tape and regulatory barriers for SMEs and cooperatives and pushes for more appropriate financial instruments to address the SME credit gap, which is estimated to be over 750 billion rand according to the IFF. Of course, as government, we must lead these initiatives, but we've got to do so adopting an ecosystem approach in which we can leverage capacity and resources from all role players behind our action. Our National Integrated Small Enterprise Development Strategy Framework enforces that approach. Last year, we conducted roadshows across the country, which culminated to the National SME and Cooperative Summit. We do believe there's a strong consensus among stakeholders in our approach to SME and cooperative development and the game change of partnerships we are stitching together. These include for new economy startups on a recapitalized financing package for SMEs and cooperatives, on a refueled incubator program, on a youth entrepreneurship initiative, and on a
this meeting is being recorded.
Development scale-up, and on a greatly expanded township and rural enterprise program. This year, we are focusing on these programs, which are four at the center of what we'll be doing. Program one, on the members, as you know, focusing on administration as we continue to put systems and capacity in place. Program two, where we are dealing with sector and market development in order to drive our work around value chain localization. Program three being the development finance, much of which gets to be transferred to CIFA for the various SME and corporate financial instruments. Program four, which deals with enterprise development, which also gets to be transferred to CEDA for their enterprise development and incubation support work. All of this work, Honourable Members, is meant to ensure that we play our part as much as little as we can. I'm saying little because we are confined and constrained by the budget that continues to really fail us in terms of wanting to do more. But with the little that we have, we believe that we can leverage on partners and be able to make a difference in the lives of the SMEs that we are responsible for. We are on track in the establishment of a one-stop-shop agency, as we reported, cabinet had approved, and we have up to next year, January, to finalize the process, which will take place on the 1st of April. And Honourable Members, as we have indicated, this at least makes things easier for SMMEs, not to be toing and froing from different agencies, but to access all their services in one place. We're also working on increasing our footprint at the portfolio at local level, wherein we are building at the back of the DCM 110, whilst we incorporate the LED units to at least make sure that our services are available. We will be moving the business amendment bill to Parliament in order to make it easier for entrepreneurs to start businesses. The year ahead will be very busy, Honourable Chair. And we need to work as a collective force to address the myriad changes facing our SMMEs and cooperatives. The impact of load shedding on our sector is significant, and we are urgently developing some measures whilst we are waiting national treasury's approval. We have pleaded our case. We've tried to identify funds. As since then, national treasury has not given us the go-ahead. We then made another submission. The DG will follow up on this work and will come back and update the portfolio committee. In all this work before us, I will be counting, of course, on the support from the Deputy Minister in order to help me steer the ship, and of course the Director General of the Department, Mr. Mkumane, and our entire officials, both in the Department and in our agencies as led by the board members. This will ensure that we implement our priorities on which we have agreed. This year we're taking a different tune in terms of saying, let's not only focus on ticking the boxes, but ours is to make sure that for every decision and cent spent, there should be a socio-economic value and impact that is derived by those that are beneficiaries of the work that we do. We remain steadfast in our mission to improve the livelihoods of our people and the competitiveness of the SMMEs and cooperatives as we march to finish the line of the SISC administration. Chairperson, allow me to pause there, and of course, with your permission, allow me to invite the Director General of the Department to take us into the actual work that will be done by our department for this financial year. Thank you, Chairperson. As I say that, Chairperson, today we have a cabinet meeting and a state, and I will then request to leave at 10 o'clock. Unfortunately, I cannot apologize to the cabinet. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Minister, for those overview and sketching the landscape. Yes, you may be excused for the Parliament for the cabinet meeting, and I want to just invite the chair and the CEO just to start with the presentation. If you have sharing rights, you can proceed with the CEDA presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Rakim, if you could assist.
And there you are, Mr. Mbata.
Thanks, Kim. I hope Kim, please confirm if my screen is visible.
Yes, it is visible there.
Thank you. Greetings, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and greetings to the Minister, the DG, and the colleagues. We thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity to present our APP as CEDA for the year 23-24. I'm just trying to sort out the view so that it's clear on your side, unless if my screen is showing me something else. This is the APP for 23-24, Chair. As I will go through it, I would take it as read. Chair, if you allow, may I close the video for bandwidth purposes, or should I just to get your guidance around that?
It's fine, Mr. Mbata. You can close the video, and I think maybe just make the slide bigger so that we can see it full screen with the facility like that.
Yes, I'm just trying to sort it out so that there is no issues. Just
But I think let's proceed in the meantime. You can proceed now.
Thank you, Chair. I would just go through it. I would take that document as read because it's 59. Given that we have two presentations today. But I will definitely focus and provide details where required. Chair, this is just an outline in terms of how the APP looks like in terms of Part A, Part B, and Part C. We will focus mainly on Part C, which is measuring our performance, which deals with our outcomes, output, and our targets for the current financial year. But I will go through Part A and Part B but I will take that as well because it may take time to go through that external environment and the SWOT analysis one by one. Thank you very much, Chair. In terms of doing our work as an organization, we definitely subscribe and comply to various legislations and policies, which I will not go through one by one for the time. But these are the policies, these are the acts that we look at as an organization as we continue to do our work. I'm just trying to make sure that trying to minimize the. Thank you, Chair, for disturbing me. There's a bar that was disturbing me. I wasn't able to view the document properly. Chair, this is just providing updates on institutional policies and strategies, you know, which are key to us doing our work. The NPP, you know, being the priority NPP 2030, being what to look at in terms of our policy mandates and the guidelines, including all others that are mentioned on this slide. I will then go to the CFC, the collaboration, as part of the work that we do. Chair, I must say that this is a very critical element that as the two organizations, we need to get right and we need to get correct. We are making strides in making sure that we work together as the two organizations. Yes, there are gaps, as the members may have picked up some of the gaps even during the site visits, but the CEO of CFC and myself, we are working hard to make sure that we close the gaps, and we believe that the merger will make sure that this is seamless working relationship between the two entities. But we also acknowledge that if we don't start now, the merged entity then may not be functioning in the way that it's supposed to function. So we're aligning ourselves. We had, for example, a meeting on Friday with the team. They had a meeting on Monday to make sure that there's an alignment, and they'll be presenting to us, and we'll be going to the board in terms of the alignment, especially around the issues of TREP, how we deal with TREP. Given the challenges to make sure that then we're able to distribute the funds accordingly and that there's no confusion in the market as far as the funds are concerned. Our job really as CEDA is to make sure that we assess the clients and we provide business plans that are bankable. There's been a challenge, but working around the quality to make sure that minister needs as far as that is concerned, and then make sure that then we assist with the client with the site visits. We've been working together. We take the input of the Northwest visit very seriously, and we as I mentioned, we've met to go through that and to make sure that we close the gaps and that the officials that assist us in having the mission and the vision are then in tune and aligned in terms of us working together. And the slide just details more, Chair. I think, as I said, you know, us providing all business development support interventions become key for all clients, for all SMEs in the country, but also to make sure that those that are funded by SIFA also get the same services from us, be it issues of market development, issues of signage, issues of quality, product quality assessment, making sure that their products meet the right quality so they're able to sell their products to the market. And those are the things that we are now sharing in preparing ourselves for the merged entity. And then for TREP and SME relief, it's very important that as from a leader point of view, we provide those mentorship and coaching, which are very critical for businesses, especially in the difficult times. The businesses do need mentors and they need coaches so that they're able to adapt to the current challenging environment and come up with different strategies on how to run their businesses and how to do things differently and efficiently, given the current economic challenges, including the electricity crisis that we have in the country. I won't go into details, but that's the role of CEDA. And then on the right-hand side, we've got the role of CIFA in making sure that those are funded and that the access to market services or the market that is provided by through or via CEDA then strengthens the repayment capabilities of the clients that sit within CIFA. Chair, and the rest is just more of the funding programs that we are currently partnering in, and also looking at the systems. We had a meeting where we're sharing systems and we're seeing how we can both access the same systems so that then there's seamless work between the two entities. So our CSI office, which is our IT leaders, they're working on that to make sure that we can view from a CEDA point of view, we can share the information, but also we can view the status of the applications as they move, so that we're able to give feedback to our clients as the transactions move between the two entities. That is the work that is being done. This slide just deals with the game changes that came from the strategy of the SPT and the agencies that we had in August last year, where we are uplifting some of the work to make sure that we are relevant to the SMEs and we provide value to the SMEs, and that as an organization we are able to uplift the work that we do so that then there's impact on the SME front, given, as I said, the current challenges. So there are game changes that we came up with together with the department. And then these are around the new economy startups, the township and rural economic development, which is taking priority, the refueled incubators and et cetera program, which is also a big role that CEDA is playing. And then the capitalization of the SME funding package, which is done via CIFA. And then we look at the partnership programs. So it becomes very, very important for us then to align as an organization to these game changers. And from a CEDA point of view, we're then able to develop certain game changes in aligning ourselves with the Department of Small Business Development. And for us, we just need to make sure that the market access and supplier development partnership is uplifted, and this is our focus for this year, because the supplier development partnerships are what gives opportunities to the SMEs. Because if as CEDA we drive this and we get into partnership for the benefits of SMEs with the different corporate entities, then as our SMEs then are able to take feedback on that, and they are able to sell or provide services to the partners that would have engaged and partnered with for the benefit of these SMEs. So we're prioritizing this his work for this year. And we will be on the, myself and the chairperson will be on the campaign and going around the country, starting from May, in meeting different partners that we believe they will benefit the SMMEs, so that then we provide access to the market to the SMMEs. We're also dealing, over and above that, we're then dealing with the issues of making sure that the organization itself is also known and everyone knows and know us in terms of the services that we offer. So that's also another priority that we will have. And we believe that if we do that, then more SMEs can have access to us, and then they will not be confused in terms of what we offer and what we can do for them. So then they know every time that they would they can knock on our doors and get the services that they need to do while dealing with the inefficiencies in the system as well, because we've been prioritizing that, making sure that we make changes in the provincial, different provinces in provincial leadership. We've made changes in the Northwest province, where we have a new leader, mainly because we wanted to reposition the province. We have a new leadership and new branch managers in the Mpumalanga province, because we believe that there has been where inefficiencies, and we are making sure that we have new leadership. We have new leadership in the Eastern Cape province in terms of the provincial leadership, and we continue to assess our provincial leadership to make sure that we align ourselves and that whoever is leading the province has understands the mandate that we have on the SMMEs, because there has been issues in terms of delivery in those provinces, and we are resolving those matters. Chair, as I said, I will not go deep into this, but the pre-investment becomes key, as I had mentioned, to make sure that we're very strong on the pre-investment support to the SMMEs. And the district ecosystem facilitation program is a flagship program. This is the DDM link ecosystem. We have targets for this, and we want to make sure that we play our role as CEDA in making sure that we facilitate the ecosystem, so that all players in the ecosystem of the SMMEs are working together for the benefit of the SMMEs. We have a project, I've mentioned before, that we develop value propositions for each stakeholder in the ecosystem, private sector, government, municipalities. So we are bringing everyone together into a conversation and into an ecosystem participation program, where we need to make sure that we avoid duplication of services to SMMEs, but also we make sure that everything is seamless and that we focus on the economy of each district in terms of provision of our services, so that we become relevant and we equip the SMMEs to benefit in the economy of the different districts that we have within the country. And the incubation program, I have spoken about it. And this is an alignment in terms of the priorities and the needs of contract. I won't go into details, but we are showing that our programs on the right-hand side, Program 1 to Program 3, are aligned to the minister. I'll go through these programs aligned to the minister's contract in terms of achieving what we need to achieve, and we contribute as an organization to that. And those are issues of national priority. We have no court judgments at this point in time on CEDA as we come to the committee. Our strategic focus, I won't go through the vision, the mission, those have not changed, in the values, Chair, for the sake of today. This slide just provides the analysis of what is happening in the economy. The minister has spoken about the situation analysis and how the economy is doing and the difficulties that the SMEs are facing, and some of the interventions that as a portfolio we have we're putting in place to address those. So I would not repeat that. The PESTEL, which is talks to the external environment analysis, we have done that as required, Chair, and one would not really go into details around that. But, you know, one would deal with the issues of, you know, the economic issue. You know, obviously the economic growth is really very, very poor, and which on a day by day decreases the opportunities of the SMEs to participate in the economy. but also, you know, the issue of the tightening of the purse from National Treasury. You know that the country doesn't have a lot of funds, which also has a bearing on us being able as a leader to provide the services. The CFO will take the members through the budget with your permission to later, but the budget that we have has a bearing on our ability to deliver, as our budget has only increased by 0.6% in the current financial year, which has a huge bearing on us as an organization being able to deliver and increase our impact. So some of the indicators would not have increased significantly, and some may have decreased, mainly because the budget to deliver on those is also not available. But there is work that is done by the minister and the DG in getting the additional funds for us to be able to do better work. And if those are approved, then we'll definitely retable so that we are able to show the impact of additional funds that we may get going forward. Chair, I would leave it there. I think on the SWOT, one of our strengths is our visibility in the district. And however, we have augmented that with additional access points as well in the current financial year, where we make sure that open above the branches that we have, we also have access points that we are visible in different areas. We are busy training those service providers that will be our access points. We're working together with CIF on this, but if the SMEs go to the access points, they also find CIF as well and CIDA in one place in preparation for the mechanism. And we're doing work to move together in various branches as well, together with the CEO of CIF. So we're aligning ourselves and preparing for the mesh entity. So then maybe go straight to our programs, Chair. We have four programs for this financial year. Program one is enterprise development. Program two is the technology program. Program three is talking about impact and sustainability in terms of the impact of the organization. And then the fourth program is then dealing with administration. But the enterprise development, this is where we are displaying the work that we'll be doing throughout the country, through our networks, our branches, our partners that we have, and through the access points. And that talks to the advisory work that we do, the consulting work that we do, the training, the leadership, access to market, you know, including taking our clients to trade meetings, countries for them to have access or to gain access to the market, including market the clients with marketing material and so forth, business plans, you know, quality of products and all those things. They are under this program. Then we've got the technology program, which deals with incubation and technology transfer assistance, and then the impact in dealing with the jobs and production quality and sustainability issues. Then the last one, administration justice, an internal looking one that deals with our internal, including staff satisfaction, employee satisfaction, customer satisfaction, and so forth, brand awareness and all those things. I'll cover them in detail, Chair. We have getting into the programs themselves. This is the Enterprise Development Program, which is Program 1. We have targets that we set for ourselves linked to the outcomes, and the outcome increased growth and sustainability of SMEs and cooperatives. We've got various outputs there and output indicators that will help us in dealing with in achieving the priorities for this year. We have, under the increased growth and sustainability of SMEs and cooperatives, we have facilitate entrepreneurship and awareness, and also we have to facilitate township and rural businesses support, as well as normal support to other businesses that are not found in rural and township as well. Those are the three outputs that we're looking at on this slide. I'll continue to the next slide. How do we know that we've been able to achieve what we need to achieve under that? We have our output indicators, and we are dealing with the awareness sessions. We are aware that we had 20,000 the previous day, but it's like getting 20,000 this year. And the main reason for that is that we are changing the program in terms of its impact. You know, it's no longer about just attending webinars and getting the information, but it's about how do we make sure that there's value in those and there is funds that need to be spent then on that to make sure that we then have SMEs that attend all our sessions and all our awareness sessions. When they leave with serious and real information that will help them to move forward, including tax issues, you know, basic skills on how to run the business, you know, how to do the basic costing and all those things. So we're targeting that we have a meaningful program on that one so that the entrepreneurship awareness session become meaningful as we move along. It's very important for us as an organization as we continue to measure our impact. On the township and rural businesses, we're targeting 18,000 for this year or to support 18,000 businesses for this year. And on the number of businesses supported with business development, we're dealing with 2,000 businesses there. We also looking at priority sectors, with given what is happening in the economy, we need to have enterprises that we are scaling up. We have 100 that we started this year that we are moving with because the scaling up is not a one-year target. We need to work with these businesses over a period of 3 to 5 years to make sure that they grow and become strong businesses, and we're going to add additional 50 this year into that so that then we have these businesses that will, at least in the next 3 years, we say we started them with a turnover of 5 million, now they have 50 million turnover business or 500 million turnover business, and that becomes very critical. We can't have all of them in that space, but we are targeting those that have a high potential, and we'll grow those businesses, and we'll be able to report and reflect back in 3 years' time. And but annually, we do the reflection. In terms of our mentorship and training, we continue to 20,500 in mentorship and training for this current financial year. Local markets, we are increasing that to 2,500 because we want to make sure that we have more businesses that we give access to. The challenge with this part is that it's not just about us as an organization taking these businesses and saying, I have this business to maybe Pick and Pay or a Checkers or a Clicks, but it's one is to make sure that their products meet the requirements. So we're going to start with these businesses and make sure that they meet the requirements of different local market participants. And then from there, we then take them. So we deal with quality of the product, with packaging of the product. We deal with their ability to pitch for the marketing of their product. And all those things we deal with them before they then are able to go and sell their product. And that is our target, to make sure that we introduce those. But also once we introduce them, how we must monitor that their product move within the shelves of these corporates, because that is a key stumbling block that we have currently, where the products make it to the shelves, but how do they, how do we make sure that they then are purchased and that they become part of the catalogs that are advertising all products within the shop so that consumers can see that there are these products that come from our SMEs. And international markets, we are targeting 500 businesses, and that is mainly because of the cost involved in us doing that work, given the budget that we have. And then we are also saying, as part of that, we will be taking about 500 SMEs for trade missions to overseas markets and making sure that they're exposed and that they get work to us, them getting contracts to deliver and supply. This is the program one quarterly targets that we'll be reporting on to the committee. I will not go into details, but it's breaking down what we are saying per quarter that we'll be reporting. This is the costing of program one that we have, which will cost about 301.9 million. To do as an organization. So we've costed every activity that we need to be doing, and we're working everything that we've been working on the budget that we have, and we're aligning everything to the budget that we have, hence what we can do. There is a gap, there is a space to do much more, but with the limited budget, we are able to do what we're presenting to the committee, and we've done the costing to the team based on our experience and also based on how we've been providing these services over the years. And that is 101.9 million of our 900 million budget that we have currently. The second program is our citizenship program, which deals with our support to the incubators. We spent a lot of money towards this program, supporting the incubators that we have in the ecosystem, and we're saying that for this year, we need them to produce at least quality incubators of about 1,800 through the funds that we'll be giving them. These funds have been reducing over the years. We are working with the incubators to be independent. We had a session with them 3 weeks ago in, where we're dealing with how do we raise additional funding for them to remain sustainable, and working with them, taking them to the different private sector partners, and also looking at which incubators do we still need to continue with as an organization, which one are giving us more impact and which ones are not, so then we make the right decisions around the incubation program. So we are saying they must give us solid 100-800 numbers for this financial year as well, but we are focusing on quality rather than just numbers, because we believe that incubation is the key program that that needs to deliver sustainable businesses for this country, and anyone and every business that has gone through incubation should be able to remain sustainable through difficult times within this country. So we're looking at the impact and measuring the impact of all the incubators we've been supporting over the years to say, where are the clients that you supported? Are they sustainable or not sustainable? And we can't continue to support you if they are not giving us as an organization and as a portfolio of sustainable businesses. It's not about just the numbers that come through. It's about where are they and how sustainable they are. And then the TTA, which is the technology support program, will also come through. And this is just a breakdown of the quarterly targets. 113.7 million of our budget will be spent on that. Program 3 is our sustainability program. This is where we measure our sustainability of the work that we do, that talks to quality improvements, interventions, where we assist clients to improve their quality. It's 1,000 SMMEs for this year, and the number that is supported through productivity is also another 1,000 for this year. These are long-term programs that we offer to improve quality and productivity efficiencies of these SMMEs. And the SMEs that improve their turnover, while we're working hard to make sure that we, even though the times are difficult, but we're saying at least 108 of the SMEs that you look at must have increased their turnover. And then we also looking at the jobs created, 1.8, and this is mainly because our programs don't result into jobs directly. If you prepare a business plan for a client, then they must get funding for the job to materialize. So we can't count the jobs on the business plan. We have to count the real jobs. And we go back once they've received funding and we are able to say, this has resulted into the jobs of so many. But again, if they receive funding from CIFA, we can't count those jobs because CIFA will count those jobs. So to avoid double counting, if we do a marketing material for a client and we do a website and we do marketing material, they go in and market their product, they may not create jobs the day we do. They are not creating jobs the day we finish the work, but as they continue to use the materials we provided, they may increase the number of staff as they increase the turnover. So we're always going back every 6 months to check the clients that we provided interventions to. So that is the nature of the work that we provide, even though we may be targeting 76,000 or so SMEs, but those don't result in the jobs now. There will be jobs over a period of time, and we avoid double counting of jobs. And this is the breakdown the quarterly targets that we have, and we're spending 87.5 million on those. And you see that some of these we do in-house through the employees that we have, and some of them we do pay for them to be done. The last program, Chair, is administration. And I know that the time allocated for the grant will have passed. The last program is just more of administration, where we're dealing with digitalizing our services to make sure that we reach our clients quicker. And we've done a lot of work around that. We have systems that are currently being developed to make sure that our clients don't have to go to branches all the time, that we're able to sign documents wherever the clients are. And a lot of work is being done. The current system responding to AG findings as well is being completed. So we believe that we may have some issues, but in the 2024 year, will not have issues with everything will be on the system and will not have issues. So we're just making sure that we manage the current year's audit, but the next year we should not have issues as far as information. information is concerned, and the rest is our brand positioning. I've spoken about it. Client satisfaction, stakeholder satisfaction form part of this, including keeping our vacancies within 10%, as well, and making sure that our staff performs at 3.11 and above, because that is the minimum that we expect in terms of performance of the employees whilst we achieve our targets. Chair, this is a quarterly milestone for that, and the amount that we'll be spending on that. Chair, if you permit, I would ask the CFO to quickly take the honorable members through the next slide, so then we can conclude. He will just do a summary if he's around in terms of our allocation for this year.
Please proceed.
Elias, are you able to go take it through?
Yes. Thanks. Good morning, the committee members. I'll take you through the financials. I'll start with the income part of our program. During the financial year 23-24, we have received the allocation from the vote. The total amount that we received, which is included in the 904 million under the revenue, is an amount of 859.8 million. The previous year we received an amount of 854.4 million, and that gives us an increase in terms of the financial values, 5.5 million, and then that is equivalent to 0.64%. And then the increase of 0.64% then stretches us to realign and reduce some of the targets. However, we will still be able to meet our APP target and deliver on what our SME need. It included in the CETA PSDD specific project, during the financial year 22-23, we received an amount of 81.3 million, which is on line number 3. This amount included an amount of 60 million, which was once off project for the flood relief. And then the following year, which is 23-24, we are only receiving the 31.3 million. And then the 31.3 million, we are going to spend the 25 million on the export development, and an amount of 6.3 million, we are receiving it from the EDSE, which is our EU project. We are going to use the 6.3 million for the implementation of the PIMS system, which we have started the process. Then the external earnings, we received an amount of 8 million. We are going to use 8 million mainly for the incubator, is what we received from external funders, including the Northwest Province, and this amount has increased from last year. Then on the other income, the balance of 5 million, this is what we are generating from the interest on the bank balance. This amount has declined. Last year we were able to budget for the 10 million. The reason for the our decline on interest receivable is that our bank balance has declined. During the previous financial year, we used to have a higher bank balance. However, in 21-22, after we got an approval from National Treasury, we have used the balance, bank balance, and then we no longer have maintained the big balance. As a result, we are generating less interest compared to the previous financial year, where we were able to generate more than 10 million. Then on the compensation of the employees, we budgeted an amount of 397.7 million, which has increased by 22.2 million from the 375 of the financial year 22-23. And in terms of the percentage, this equates to 6% increase. Then under the program and project, we are getting a decline. We have the budget of 484.3 million, whereas we had the budget of 554.8 million, which included the 60 million for the flood, which we was a once-off project that we spent on the KZN and the other part of the Eastern Cape province that was impacted by the floods. Then from the program, we are standing under program one, which is our enterprise development. For the 8 indicators, we are spending an amount of 301 million, and under program two, which is the technology program, we are spending an amount of 113.7 million. And due to the financial constraints and continuous growth on the number of the incubators, we are then reducing the target. During the financial year 22-23, we are approved in terms of the ATP. We have the 11 new incubators that we have implemented, and this increased the number of the incubators. The more we increase the incubators, we spend the money on the establishment. After the incubators are fully established, then they need the funding for the support in order for them to be operational. Then under program three, which is the impact and sustainability, we budgeted an amount of 87.5 million for the 5 indicators. Then the total for the 3 programs, which includes the program 4, which is administration, we are spending 503 million on the 3 projects, which is program 1, enterprise development, program 2, which is digital technology program, and the program 3, which is impact and sustainability. Then the balance of the budget, we are using it for the administration to support the program and project. The bigger portion of the administration goes to the office space for the branches, the provincial office and national office. We allocated under the project and programs the 78 million, which goes to the office space and the accommodation of the branches. Then our pickup, second portion of our expenses goes to the systems, license, and internet connectivity, which cost us 48 million during the financial year 23-24. And then we are also implementing a new ICT project, which we will include that in this financial year. We are planning to go fully on the cloud hosting of all the systems, and then we have improved the internet connectivity into the branches. We used to have a lower band, however, we increased the network. We appointed the new service provider, and then as a result, our administrative cost, which include mainly the licenses and software, is increasing. Then the next part is the asset and liability. On the asset and liability, the financial position keeps on declining. We will spend close the year with the asset of 142.1 million. Then for the financial year 23-24, we are planning that the total asset and versus the liabilities, we will close with the 133.3 million. And then the main reason is because during financial year 21-22, we got an approval from National Treasury to spend all the accumulated surplus. That amount was 294 million. After we spent it, then CIDA does no longer have the cash reserves. All the revenue that we received, we spent it in the same year that we have received. Then it's also supported under the cash flow projections, as we can see that the estimated balance is declining. Then the next slide is on the capital expenditure. We have budgeted an amount of 5.7 million for the financial year 23-24, mainly to improve the infrastructure and to replace the obsolete assets. Thank you.
Thanks, CFO. Thank you, Chair. And the next slide is the updated risk and mitigation, and I will take that as read. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CE and CFO of CIDA. Members, there you have it. I think we're going to deliberate first on the CEDA presentation. Can I get an indication of hands? I note Honorable Mapika as the first hand I see. Members, I'm just going to invite one round of hands because we also want to get to the department's presentation. So can I get a seat? Okay. Honorable Mapika, you may proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Oh, thank you very much. No, I've got one quick one, Chairperson. CEDA is saying, as part of their responsibility is to assess the clients before they can assist with the development of the bankable business plan in order for them to access funding. Then my question, Chairperson, is based on the man that we met in the northwest who was selling the donkey products outside the CEDA or CIFA offices. I can't remember quite very well. That man is saying he was assisted by CEDA to develop a bankable plan, I believe, after an assessment. But the man cannot access funding from CIFA because CIFA is declining. So one wonders now, because we take the CIFA funding as the in-house funding, if CEDA, before helping the man with the bankable business plan, made an assessment, what is it that makes CIFA to decline his application? Because that will tell me that if we can't access funding from CIFA, then there's nowhere else where the men can get assisted, because even CIFA, that's too close to CEDA, can't assist. And it raises questions like how many, because we only met that guy, how many of those frustrated guys or people who intend growing their businesses are as frustrated as that man in the whole of South Africa, because I'm made to believe that we only met one, and that says it is possible that on one hand CEDA is assisting with bankable business plans after an assessment, on the other hand, how do you make an understanding or faith to believe that CEDA understands all the requirements that CIFA is looking for a business to be assisted. That's my worry, Chairperson. But I just want to check as to how does it happen that they assess and be able to satisfy that yes, this one we can assist with a bankable business plan, and only to find that CIFA next door says no, we can't fund this one. Thank you.
Okay, I think the point is made. Very simply put, if CEDA gets people to the can CEDA and the link between CEDA and CIFA ensure that people get bankable and fundable business plans. All right. Any other further questions? Members, Honorable Matulelwa, you Greg, you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to honorable members and the department. I just want to say, Chairperson, I've got a, maybe I can say, I'm concerned. Also, I want to recommend that the CEDA must be capacitated if the department cannot do the work on its own. We want to just tell the department that we were so disappointed with it and the way it does things in terms of money that has added up, that it cannot even account for. So I wanted to say, Chairperson, CEDA must be capacitated to do the whole work. We must do away with this CIFA, because CIFA is no longer assisting us in terms of giving the necessary support to our small businesses out there. The oversight in Northwest is a clear indication that CIFA will never give us a good or give us a proper work in terms of the people, because we saw CEDA's site of work in Northwest and we were so pleased with it. But the fact that the big money go to CIFA who cannot give us straight answers with their accompanied with their arrogance and the money that we cannot even now say that we know that and we are confident that they were really given to those companies that we visited. I just wanted to say, let us consider the CEDA at least to do the whole thing and do away with the CIFA thing, because it's not assisting us. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mtinjani, you next.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, although at the time I couldn't hear clearly because of the network here, we are struggling a lot here with the network. Now, but though, Chair, I want to check it with the CEDA, because the complaints that we get from our people, they are complaining that, for example, there's a man called Mr. Suli from, I think it's from Middlebeck, who called me and complained about CIFA. But then he said, here is the story. He said he gave them the application first time, they rejected it, and then second time, they rejected it for the second time. They reject, though, with a recommend to say, go and do like this, like that. Until at last, they said, go and get a business plan from CIFA, from CEDA. He went there, still they rejected his application, that meant. Now, my question is, does CIFA and CEDA work together? Does CIFA approve the plan that is made by CEDA? If not so, why not? Because it looks like they're not working together, these people. Because how do you reject a plan that you said, go and do it better, and then CEDA did it better, and then go to CIFA, but still the person couldn't get money? And then they said there's a fellow I'm sorry to say this, there's a fellow Indian guy who's working for CIFA. That man is the problem, because every time you get a complaint, his name is there. He's playing with our people, he's playing with their emotions, because some keep on rejecting them, and at the last he tells them that, yeah, you people can't pay. There's no way we can give you money because you can't pay. But he gives them a belief, a hope that he's going to give them money. Go and fix this, and we'll consider. Then at last, then he tells them, no, we can't consider you. We can't give you money. There's nothing we can give you because you can't pay. Something like that. So it's very bad, Chairperson. Really, it's very bad for our people. Our people does not get help at all. Not at all, especially from CIFA. This CIFA thing, it's not helping our people, Chair. Please, let them at least invite us with the people, that those that they help, then we invite them in the committee so that we verify this thing. These people are lying to us here. Every time they come here, they tell us they are giving people money. They are not giving people money. I'm talking about FIFA now. So they are not also working together with FIFA. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Members, telling you what to do, I think what we need to do is just to focus on the leader presentation. You'll see in the program that we will get an opportunity to deal with the issues raised in the Northwest oversight. So let us focus on the submission of CEDA and its annual and budget plan for the upcoming year. I recognize Honorable Kruger and then Honorable Aitro.
Thank you, Chairperson. And I would like to speak to the financials. I think it was item 4.1. If we care to just show that slide again, please, Chairperson. If they can, I tried to write it down. But let me get to the issue. My issue is that it seems like the staff of CEDA is getting, as the years progress in this midterm or in the budget cycle, they actually start to benefit more and more from the money that's available. And if we can see, if you can put up that slide, we can see it. But I can just state that in 21-22 financial year, the staff component of the budget was 376.7 million rand, right? Or 376 million rand. Yeah, it's 4.. It's not slide 4. It's item 4.1. You can go there. There you are. That's exactly the one. Did I miss something? Yes. Now, let's look at the expenditure. Then you will see. Let me just take that white so that we can see the slide. All right. It's a bit small, but look at the expenditure. We look at the employees and then the program. So in 21-22, it sort of was in balance because it looks like more than 60, close to 70% of the expenditure of CEDA goes to programs and projects, which hopefully was aimed to small and medium enterprises. Now, if you look, just the year next, it's still the employees and the projects is the employees, compensation to employees is still less than projects, so it seems like our SMMEs still get the benefit of the budget. Then 23-24, it comes closer that the employee cost and the program cost is coming closer to be the same. Then you will look next year's, it's virtually the same, and then the year after as well. So half of the projected budget for 23-24, 24-25, and 25-26 are going to employee costs and not I mean CEDA, if you look at CEDA's mandate, it's the beneficiaries of CEDA's mandate must be small business. And here we see that the beneficiaries of CEDA is equal to the to small business, and then we don't even talk about this additional cost. If we add the 78 million rand for office space and we
I can't remember that that there was an amount mentioned for administration and IT as well. So then it pushed this you know, the scale between employee or the cost to run the business and the beneficiaries. It makes it an imbalance. So I just want to find out why is there such a huge increase in compensations of employees, you know, and then you can see there's a decrease in programs and projects that the FIDA is going to spend on small business and cooperatives. That's my question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, we just need to push for time, so I'm going to invite the Honourable April as the last, and then I will just also ask one or two questions. Honourable April?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I want to just register that we welcome the presentation that was made. I'm a person that is very, very critical at sometimes, but we should also acknowledge when good work is done. I think there's a lot of good work that has been done by SIDA, in particular in Gauteng. SIDA is really delivering. There is there's Colin Lichot, who I met in a program that we had last week, and really I can say to you that the work that they have been doing and the way that they were able to prove it to our community. Our community has been stunning work, and I want to register that to the portfolio committee that we see the work that they are doing, and one would really say well done to the team from SIDA, and I'm not criticizing today. Today I want to acknowledge them. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mambata, before I hand over to you to answer some of the questions, also just from my side, I think I echo the sentiments that normally we criticize and complain, but I think there is areas of improvement we see. We want to acknowledge your staff turnaround strategy where you see underperformance, you're dealing with consequence management, you're rotating staff, you're bringing new staff on. I think we acknowledge what you said in the Northwest and in the Eastern Cape. I think what we need to do is to ensure that we have that uniform standards, and those areas where there's pockets of underperformance or non-standardized performance, we deal with it and there's consequences. It's a sign of good leadership, CEO. If you are proactive, if you know what's happening on the ground. So when someone walks into a SIDA office in Port Elizabeth or wherever, or Kimberley, they should expect the same services. The same services with the same level of quality, same level of professionalism is there. So I think that is the key. Just one or two questions from my side. You have focused on your mandate as the four issues, the entrepreneur program. The one thing that we want to see is a better ecosystem around not only private but also public sector entrepreneur development. How do you crowd in entrepreneurship development and the supply chain and localization and of multinational companies, of private sector, of everybody? How do you get as this agency to lead all South Africans to see that small business must be everybody's priority? So that collaboration that you're talking about. I asked the question around the township and TREP. There must be a closer connection between the pre-investment support that you're providing in the township. So first of all, do we have locations in all of the townships, or are we still based in the big cities? And if so, how can we ensure that we have a better presence of cedar in, let's say, the top big 20 townships and dorpies in our cities, and then the link obviously between training your target of 20,000 people for training in capacity. That means nothing if there's no link between access to funds and access to markets and access to opportunities. So we want to see that link in your performance plan. I like this thing about the game changers. You've listed the township and rural economy, the local economy, startups, supply chain development partnerships, the incubator program. Those are really good initiatives of very ambitious targets. The question is how? It says in township and rural economy, you want 20,000 tech programs. There's currently 23 incubators. We're looking at upscaling it to about 200. You're looking at 36,000 jobs through this program. So the targets are there, but I just want us to see, maybe just talk to us about how are you going to ensure that we have both the human resource capacity, but also more important, the technical capacity and the political will to drive this. But thank you, and I think with that, we can just answer the members' questions and members' inputs, and you can respond to them. Thank you very much. Over to you back, Mr. Mbata.
Okay, thank you, Chair, and thanks to honorable members for the questions. I would try to respond in how the questions were posed. Honorable Mabiga had a very, or posed a very valid question, because this is what the CEO of SIFA and myself have been working on. We had tasked the officials to look at the relationship between SIFA and CEDA, especially more on the business plans and also the post-investment, as well as the access to market for all SIFA funded clients. And we were analyzing the issues that the team come back with as far as business plans and the funding. And we have since realized that the feedback loop has not been working the way it's supposed to work within the two agencies, where the client will take a business plan and it becomes the client problem when there's issues with SIFA. And we have agreed that we need to make sure that the team members, our business advisors, they interact with the SIFA employees as well, in terms of SIFA investment officers, in terms of the business plans and all clients that we submit between the two entities. So it becomes our challenge and our matter to resolve, so that the clients get the benefit of what they're looking for. We have also strengthened the team, now comprised of executives, that says, what is it that SIFA is looking for? What is it that the DFIs are looking for from the business plan point of view? So then every thing is ticked, every I is dotted in the business plan section. And that also will increase the funders. You don't just deal with SIFA only. We also deal with other funders, because you may find that there is a particular sector that is too risky for SIFA at the moment, where money has been lost, where SMEs have not paid, and they are very cautious around that particular sector in terms of funding it, as monies have been lost in the past and protecting the government fund. And we find that actually NEF has a better appetite for those business plans. So we need to coordinate it better, and we've agreed on that method. But yes, detailed analysis is done before these are submitted. We just need to update it to the CEO level that these two entities work together and they function together, including the requirements, and the business plans have everything that is required. We noted the the wild input made by Honorable Tulela, as well as Honorable Tenjan. I think it's addressed under Honorable Mabiga, but also not the input made by Honorable Tulela. I will also pass on the, if the CIFA is on the platform, I will also pass on the concerns of the committee members as well, regarding the employees that just keep the SMEs hanging for a long period of time, and then after months, then they tell them to go to CIFA, which obviously I believe that should be said from day one, or maybe after a week of assisting the business plan, but I will pass on that to CIFA, see also that we make sure that we work together on these matters. I also want to just address the questions posed by Honorable Kruger around the issues of the financials. There was a financial year, which is 2021-22 and also 2022-23, where you find that actually, you know, out of the budget, for example, 21-22 financial year, when I got to see that during that financial 2020, when the financial year started, basically 2022, we had an underspending on our budget of 200 and something million when I arrived at CEDA. And you'll see that in that particular year, because the Treasury gave us that 200 and something million on top of our budget, our budget became 1.1 or 1.2 billion, and we're able to channel that balance of the underspending of the previous year to the SMEs, which made up 773.6 million, because we had extra money, and that became million. That was spent on programs, but our budget increased to 1.185 billion for that year. Mainly the spending that we did was mainly because of the surplus, even though our total budget was 102, but because we received the surplus money, then we were able to channel more money towards the programs from the surplus that we received. And we made sure that we finished all the surplus in the new financial year, which was 22-23. There was no surplus, as you will see, that we had 947. We then spent 947 million. There was no surplus that we received. So the point that I'm making is that the 902 was what we got, but we spent 1.85, and that is because we received over 200 million from Treasury as the money not spent in the previous year. One of the things that I wanted to do when I arrived was make sure that we spend all the money. We don't have huge surpluses like 200 and something, because it meant something was not right with the model, and we're able to do so. Hence, you see the 773 coming in there as the huge or increase in the programs and projects, because the decision was spend all the money on the programs and projects that we received as extra money from National Treasury. In the new financial year, our budget was 497, including the flood relief. We then put 554.8 onto the SME programs. We, on the salaries, you can see there were 376.7. We dropped that to 375.5, so there was a reduction in that. But we, because of the money we had to only spend 554.8 onto the programs and projects. There was no surplus that we received. As you see, the money received and the money spent is the same. Again, in the financial year, we only have 904. We'll be spending 904. The increase in the salaries is 5.5%, which is also below what is being agreed into the market. So we need to see how we augment that. But we haven't been increasing that large. You see, that line has not been increasing largely. This line is mainly because, one, the funds that we are receiving, but here with the surplus amount from Treasury, and we are working on not having a surplus because we want to spend all the monies we have. What we've done, Chair, is that then because of those issues, we are saying that our employees, for example, must be able to do the work in-house. As you can see, that some of the things they say in-house, because we are saying our business advisors must be able to deal with some of the matters in-house, so that we don't have to employ any other people to do the work, but our business advisors then do the work in-house and they work on some of these things because we don't have much money. So we still help the SMEs, but we also combine the work that you do so the staff can do more of these advisors than they normally do, so that we can still achieve the numbers that we achieve. Thank you, Chair. I think I've just covered that. On April, we thank you very much for the comments and input. We really appreciate it. We continue to endeavor to do great work. And we also appreciate the criticism when it comes because it helps us to improve as well in terms of service delivery to our clients. We can never improve if there's no criticism. Definitely. We, as I mentioned, the issue of the enterprise development and the partnership is key to us. We are getting, for example, we are working with the various cities to get some of the training funds. We are making headway there so that we get more of the training funds coming to us. The picture is looking good in terms of us getting there so we can augment our budget as far as the various cities giving us training money. So those are advanced. The private sector, for example, in Northwest, the new provincial manager that started my position with him was Northwest is the hub of mining, and we should be private sector funds, and we must do some kind of a fundraising event with the CEOs of the mines so that then we are able to get more funds under the enterprise development for the benefit of our SMEs. Similar to other places, provinces, the instruction is clear. Hence, myself and the board chair, we will also be targeting those and traveling to meet with the stakeholders to increase the pool of funds. Unfortunately, they cannot borrow funds to achieve this mandate. We are not allowed, but we can only do more by getting the private sector to come in and work with us and start that work. And definitely, we're together with the department working on the game changers to achieve what we need to achieve. Thank you, Chair, and thank you very much. And I think also there's an issue on the townships. We are, for example, working on our extension model, on our access point. We are pushing so hard to have those ones in the township. We'll be able to come back and account once we've done to say so many are in the township, like which are these townships and rural areas as well are also part of that target. But we're able to work. We are moving together with CIFA in those access points. We decided that if it is a township, we're all going to be there. If it's a rural area, we're all going to be there so that then the services are extended accordingly. Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks to the honorable members as well.
Thank you. Thank you, CE, for those responses. Thank you very much, Sida. So we'll move almost immediately to the department. Director General, in your hands, we will give you sharing rights and then we'll get the concluding presentation of the Department of Small Business Development. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to Chair, honorable members and colleagues and the Friendship Project. Can be allowed to close the screen to save the input. Thank you, Chair. I'll start with the presentation, but I'll also try and not dwell much on the things that my colleagues have touched on already. Because we're here to present or to table our APP to the Portfolio Committee. Chair, I won't dwell much, but just to highlight the challenges that are faced by the economy. So we put everything that we're doing in context in terms of what we can and what are the challenges we are facing, what we are aiming to achieve. We see that the projected GDP, for example, is expected to drop from 3.4 to 2.9% in 2023 and then rise again. So that's the world economy, but we know that as a country, our GDP declines, for example, in the fourth quarter of 2022, but grew by 2% in 2022. We know that our unemployment is very high, with the youth exceeding 50%. We still have these challenges, Chair, that are facing us around electricity and all the other challenges that are also faced by our small businesses. And we know that we have to really intervene as government as well in moderating the impact of these challenges. We know that given the war in Ukraine is still affecting us, unfortunately we also have tight budget from the national treasury. Our monetary policy has a significant increase in terms of the interest rate, and all these things they do affect our small businesses. I won't waste a lot of time on this one because we've shared the presentation, but again, just to indicate where we are in the, as a country, at the bottom there, we're not doing quite well in terms of the projections. We were also expected to grow by 1.2% this year, 2023, and only 1.3% in 2024, which is really not helpful when it comes to our economy as well as addressing the issues around employment. Chair, this is just a highlight in terms of what we are trying to do on our focus, performance-related issues. My colleagues have charged on that we are pushing and making sure that we do accelerate implementation of TREPs. I must also indicate to the portfolio committee that from the department side, we're also expanding our reach by getting additional resources in terms of human beings who are going to be assisting us in driving these interventions, engaging with the communities, but also reporting through the DBM model, because not fully subscribing to it as a department, because it will assist us to address especially those areas where we are unable to reach. In dealing with the creation of the enabling environment, I must indicate to the committee that Cabinet has approved the SMN Cooperative Funding Policy, but what we have decided to do is that even though Cabinet has approved it, it still has to go out and we get, you know, last comments and last buy-in from other stakeholders. We always indicate that the demand for financial support is very high from our SMMEs. For example, we estimated to be around over 300 billion, and that money will never come from government alone. So it's important for us to get this buy-in from the private sector in particular. That's why we are taking this policy for further consultation so that we can get them to also contribute in support of the SMMEs and cooperatives. The reintroduction of the Small Business Advisory Council, MINMAG, because it's important for us as a department to play our role in coordinating the intervention. So we started with this engagement last month. In March, we had at an official level meeting with the HODs where we started pushing, for example, their role or their serious involvement when it comes to the national LISET master plan is quite important, so we want them to give us their commitments, what are they going to do, as probably supporting us to be the implementation of this master plan. And red tape reduction is the work that we're continuing to do. As Businesses Act, we are aware of limitations in terms of time, for example, when it comes to the portfolio committee of parliament engaging on this legislation. So we have pleaded with the leader of government business to still allow us time to submit the amendment bill for the two national enterprise small business act, as well as this business amendment bill that we are taking through, because we believe that we still have time for that. Deal with them during this current financial year. So we've submitted a plan to the Office of the Deputy President as the leader of government. This is how we're going to deal with this. We're done from our side with the bill. It's a policy that we are polishing, because we are to also have a policy that accompanies the bill. We'll continue to chair this year to implement our localization policy framework. And we also continue with this small enterprise manufacturing program, which is helping us to really boost capacity of our small businesses when it comes to manufacturing business infrastructure. And this is the infrastructure is quite critical for the purpose of this business, especially those that have business in rural areas. As a department internally, we always had challenges with capacity in the space, but with the new structure, it has enabled us to get officials who have expertise. One is the quality surveyor, who is coming on board next month in May, and the other one will also be coming in May, as towards the end of May. They will be joining us to assist us in delivering on the infrastructure work. At the incubation, we always monitor support that is provided by CEDA through the establishment of these digital digital hubs, because most of the money that we give to CEDA goes to this sector, so it's important for us to prioritize and monitor their performance over time. We'll continue to chair this year to ensure that our interventions they go to targeted beneficiaries as presented there, which is 40% must go to women-owned enterprises, 30% to youth-owned, and then 7% persons with disabilities. We, as a department, we finalized the strategy because what has been happening is that most of the time these targeted interventions to these targeted sectors by chance. So now we're saying we have to be intentional in our strategy, in our budgeting. We have to make sure that we set aside certain resources for these targeted groups. We are going ahead, Chair, with the implementation of what infrastructure is assisting us with additional capacity. And then we are also moving ahead with the finalization of the merger of the CBDA, CEDA, and CIFA. And we are aware of the challenges that we also need to address as a department in ensuring that there is some stability in the entities while this process is being undertaken. So there are some interim measures that we are discussing. That will be introducing to make sure that these are, for example, planning for the next year, 24-25 financial year together, so that by the time the measure is finalized, at least the entities are working as one unit. Chair, I know you did ask the previous speaker on the game changers, with what exactly are we doing in the space. I'm not going to repeat all of them, but just to indicate, Chair, that as a department, what we've done, we've got support, in fact, from the EU, our ESA partner, where we are putting, they've put together a structure similar to a PMU, where they are going to assist us in driving this, because what we intend to do is to package these game changers and submit them as part of the budgetary processes, which starts in June, and present them to National Treasury, because what we are doing, we want to utilize the money that we have as government so that it's minimal, but we can leverage more funding from the private sector. So we need to properly package all these game changers so that when we start with the budgeting cycle, and I know that by the end of July, we need to submit those to National Treasury. So we are working speedily with the support of the colleagues. So there is no competition between what the department is doing and what we are also doing with the game changers. The colleagues who are driving these programs in the department are part of the unit that is driving the game changers in particular. Chair, I'm not going to repeat this. We already indicate the alignment between our work and the economic reconstruction and recovery plan. We indicating on the far right there what exactly our target aligns to the work that we've been asked to do as part of the ERP. This is the continuation of that on the slide. And then here we also indicate what our contribution is when it comes to the framework, which assists us in the allocation of resources, because they do look at what we said we're going to do as part of the government strategic plan, which is the MTSF, and what our contribution is as a department. So those are the elements, Chair, in terms of the far right, we are showing what we are doing as DSBD programming, but we're also indicating our contribution there in the middle, including localization framework, the youth, what our interventions are when it comes directly to support that needs to be provided to youth-owned enterprises, the 100,000 community small business and cooperative this further work, we are also supporting other departments in their contribution to the MTFF. We are indicating there that we are working or supporting National Treasury in their work that they are doing around township economies. But also we are also supporting Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development because we believe that the clients that are sitting with this department are also department clients. We need to protect the investment that is being made by Department of Agriculture. When it comes to supporting especially the small-scale farmers, we need to make sure that those small-scale farmers are able to operate as viable businesses so that the investment that is made by government is being protected. Chair, then the next few slides, they go to different programs. Program one, administration. I'll just touch maybe on the annual targets so that I do save in terms of time. Chair, it's still our intention this year to receive unqualified audit outcome on both financial and non-financial performance, of which we received for the first time last year. So we intend to continue with that so that we do, you know, have some credibility even in the space, because our work involves working mostly with the other stakeholders for us to be able to deliver. So our reputation and proper internal controls, they do really give that confidence. So we intend to continue with that. This year, 100% of the creditors paid within 30 days. We are still doing that. 5% variance, we intend to make sure that the money that is allocated to us does not go back to treasury, but it goes to the economy. At 10%, we need to make sure that from our side, given that we've been supported with a bigger structure, we need to make sure that then the vacancies that are there are filled, and at least we have less than 10%. We do know that we always experience that the turnover, people do move on and to other opportunities. That does give us a challenge in terms of when we fill the vacancies, some people are resigning, but we are putting all our efforts to make sure that we stay below 10% as a department. And also in terms of mere representation, we always want to be above 10% and above 5% representation of persons with disabilities. We also committing ourselves to increase our engagement with the public so that people do know and are able to access ourselves together with the agencies. So we are jumping from 70 that we had last year to 90 this year, so that we accelerate whatever programs we had, but also go back to those areas that we had during the shows as presented by Minister earlier, to follow up because we did make some commitments together with the provincial government that we are engaging the SMMEs with, so we need to go back and interact. Chair, this year under the database, which is aimed at creating a better platform for SMEs to access our services, but also to reduce, you know, red tape. This year we intend to introduce this business licensing and centralized payment system. We know that there are business pieces all over the country. We know that KZN has their own system. How then they're also working on their own system. So it's important for us as we also driving this business amendment bill, there is uniformity across the country. So we're going to take the opportunity as a country to lead in the space so that we standardize the things across the country and minimize these are quarterly targets, Chair. I'm not going to really do much on that. But to also indicate this is the budget that is set aside for administration, of which we have 138 million, which is divided into ministry and the Office of the DG Corporate Services as well as Financial Management. So we have 442 million over the MTF, which is the sector and market development. These are the sub programs under this sector and market program two. Information and knowledge management, which includes our research, economic analysis. We are going to have some capacity this year, Chair, as we are busy recruiting people who are going to occupy these positions and assist us to be on top of our game when it comes to economic analysis, research, so that we can have evidence-based policy making, ease of doing business, which includes red tape, We are also working on access to market support, so that we provide access for SMEs that is supported with the market internationally as well as locally. This is the work that we are also indicating, Chair, here, that we have a target of 250 products. We continue with this work, working mostly with the retailers in the country to make sure that we link as many products that are produced by SMEs, as many as possible, working together with partners like Southeast South Africa. They are really working closely with us in ensuring that we drive this program together to increase the capacity of SMEs, but also expose them to the market. Then internationally, we have the target of 250 that we are pushing for 2023-24 financial year. Then on the incubation program, Chair, we're playing our role as a department to monitor the success of the incubation intervention driven by our entities leader. So we intend to make sure that we monitor and where improvements are required, we do intervene as a department to make sure that we are able to achieve what we are expected to achieve. Business infrastructure, Chair, we have a target of 7 for this year. We did not do well in the year that passed, 22-23, because of capacity issues, but also the expertise, Chair, we're lacking. That's why we've got two officials on board to assist us in driving this critical work. We have work also going back, Chair, to the ones that we've already invested in the past 2 years, just to check whether the people who are occupying these facilities, are they doing quite well? We've engaged with our agencies, especially CEDA, so that they do visit all of them to make sure that we have businesses that are growing in these facilities. Businesses Amendment Bill, Chair, as I indicated earlier, we have made our presentation to the Leader of Government Business to assist us and make sure that we are able to take this to Parliament. So we still intend to take it to Parliament. It will go to Cabinet in June once we are done with our process internally, as well as those that need to be undertaken through the Office of the Chief Digital Advisor, as well as the PME for the Socioeconomic Impact Assessment. Chair, these are breakdowns in terms of the quarterly targets, which are requested to skip, and just to indicate that this is our budget, which is broken down into four sub-programs by the total budget for 23-24 is 103 million over the end
of the
budget. Then under program 6, the development finance, the targets that we have is one, because of the work that we've done around the funding policy, we want to monitor the implementation of this. So to us, the approval of the policy is not the end. What is important for us is to make sure that we do implement this. So we intend to monitor closely the implementation of this. Policies, that's why we have the target as part of our ABC target, and then the support to cooperatives, we intend to support 250, just to indicate again that we finalizing those processes with treasury of transferring the 73 million that is allocated to cooperatives from ourselves. It was previously allocated to CIVA, but it's going to CIDA. So we are engaging closely with Treasury, because they did ask us to wait until the beginning of the year for the expect the transaction. So it's part of the interventions that we're introducing to improve our support to cooperatives, enterprises, given the past lack of success in the space. Then under TREP, we have the target of 80,000 this year. We still committed, Chair, to do as much as possible in the space to make sure that we do support those enterprises that are based in township and rural areas. We also have this program which does not have a budget, which is those women who are based in rural areas most of the time who are doing craft, and we have a target of 1,000. We're closely here with the provincial entities because it helps us with the management of this program, but also with the follow-up. But we're also able to link these also exposed to the market. 10,000 youth that have, we have this target of 10,000 that can be supported financially and non-financially. And then we have a target of 1,383 which is in supporting business, informal businesses through our informal and micro enterprise development program, where we provide direct support to our informal businesses and give them appropriate equipment that assist them move their businesses to the next level. So we believe that some of these clients that we've already supported, they will be growing and becoming formal businesses and also grow in terms of job creation. Then we have this target which is in the MTSF, where we have at least have 50,000 competitive businesses supported, and we are able to achieve this target, but it's mostly with the work that is done by the portfolio. We are not really getting joy, but it's something that we are pushing now with the provinces, asking them to also contribute, because this is the medium-term strategic framework of the government plan. It's not just the DSPD plan. So we have this target of 6,000 this year. This is the quarterly breakdown, which I request to skip, Chair. And then this is the budget. You see that the budget is a bit higher for this program. It's 1.3 billion, because most of the money that we send to the entities come from this budget. So 1.3 billion is blended finance, which includes the money that goes to SPED, as well as the money that goes to other interventions, including blended finance, which is the business viability also is part of this, and the money that goes to the small enterprise program comes from this this budget that is directed towards SIFA in the main. And then we have over the MTF, 4.1 billion the budget term. Then the last program is program 4, enterprise development, where we're mostly working with our stakeholders here to drive the mandate of supporting our enterprises. The first one, Chair, as the cabinet approved the NISTED strategic framework last year, we're also intending to make sure that the implementation is closely monitored. We don't want to have another document that is done and then adapted, and then it gets a shelf, and then we tick a box that is delivered. But we have reports that we are going to be receiving as a department, which we can also share, because it's not just our strategic framework. It includes a lot of stakeholders. We've written to them, indicating what their responsibilities are when it comes to the NISTED strategic framework, and what we'll be expecting from them to report on, starting with the provinces. We are expecting them to come back to us, indicate exactly what they will be doing in the space. Red tape reduction, we are continuing with this work, targeting data this year. And then the other exciting one, Chair, around red tape is regulatory reform. We've done an assessment, Chair, where we identified that 29 pieces of legislation do have an impact, a negative impact on SMEs. Now, what we need to take forward now is this work, further analysis, but also taking it further to the level of cabinet, because some directives have to be issued, because some of the pieces of legislation are not within our control as a department, but through the minister, we should be engaging with different cabinet members just to point out what are the issues we have with pieces of legislation, so that if amendments have to be done, they are done for the sake of SMEs, because we believe that SMEs should still be at the core of economic growth as well as job creation. So we have been directed to, at least out of the 29, let's first take the first five, because it can be all over the show. We might not achieve anything. Let's take the first five and see how we package these five and take them through, you know, the whole process of engaging with the specific departments and as well as the ministers, so that they can consider, you know, amending certain regulations or amending certain clauses to make life easy for SMEs. Sector focus and hybrid incubation and digital health support strategies. This is the work that we are doing, Chair. Look at how do we really increase the impact of our support when it comes to incubation program, and also how do we run this, because what we had discussed with the private sector in particular is that maybe you need to make CEDA to be you know, the incubator of incubators, and they are not really against that, because some of them have said, we are willing to go to township, we are willing to go to rural areas, but it's very expensive for us to set up the infrastructure. So as government, you can lead, because in most instances, the infrastructure that is available, not utilized, but you can convert the infrastructure and utilize it for incubation. And then we can come as a private sector and run those incubators. So this is the work that we thought we need to have a proper strategy approved that will assist us in implementing this intervention. Then there, lastly, is the national entrepreneurship strategy. As a country, everyone is doing something around entrepreneurship, and it doesn't assist us when we are speaking different languages to the sector. So it's important for us to have the first entrepreneurship strategy developed that will assist in guiding all the efforts in the ecosystem when it comes to entrepreneurship. So we intend to take this through all the processes and make sure that by the end of this year we have a national entrepreneurship strategy finalized. These are quarterly targets, Chair, which I'm not going to touch on. And then here, Chair, the budget is just below 1 billion, which is mostly the money that goes to CEDA, of which we really do know that I think the CIFA CEO yesterday did also touch on the fact that more money needs to be given to the portfolio so that we are able to drive the mandate that we have. And CEDA is also part of those engagements with National Treasury, where we are looking at how we can increase the money that is given to the entity to enable it to deliver on this huge mandate. Updated risk, Chair, I'm not going to dwell much on this, but we just indicate what we are doing and what are the risk mitigation strategies that we are putting in place to make sure that we address the risk that we have identified. Chair, with your permission, I'm not going to really waste a lot of time, but recommend the portfolio committee the annual performance plan is adopted. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DJ. Members, I will now invite the input comments from your side. Members, are you still there?
Yes, Jay, I think there's a lot to process, and so personally I need more time to go through. There's a lot of information, and at this stage I feel a little bit in my car. So I think we can have a long discussion next week or so on this whole thing when we have to agree about the APP. Or thank you.
Right, any other inputs?
So it seems it's just me and you on the platform today.
No, there is this.
No, honorable
Matulelwa. I recognize you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Chair. I would just say, as long as simple issues as the red cap reduction are given to external or given to some other people other than the department to be given this responsibility, we are going to come here to listen to this long presentations. I'm not shocked if members they can't even come and put any input in this matter, because really I don't think this should be taking so long, or more than a month or whatever. More especially if it has been given, the task force given a special attention, I can say, to be given to someone to deal only with that, except the whole work of the department. So I just want to say, let this thing happen and be finished, and then we know that we are done with it, so that our people are not subjected to these deep reductions all over, more especially in townships and rural areas. There are so many troubles there. People have got ideas, people are practicing small businesses, but this red tape is really, really giving them a hard time. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Sungula.
Thank you, Chair. I just joined because I was in another meeting, so I just need to confirm if we are asking questions now.
Yes, Honorable Ngola, we're asking questions to the Department of Small Business. They just presented their annual plan and budget.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, Chair. There's a couple of questions that I have. Firstly, I read through the report and the presentation. So the following comment that I think the department needs to think outside of the box when it comes to SME support, because we find that the most of the small businesses are venturing into somewhat similar businesses. Now, as they're venturing into similar businesses, then it clouds their business space, which makes it difficult for other suppliers to make use of them. For example, you pick up that in the township, most of the time, many young business people are going to engage in businesses of e-carwash, etc. So once that space becomes crowded, it becomes difficult for them to actually survive. So when it comes to the department providing assistance, I think, you know, they need to think outside of the box in order to influence and educate the business people also to think outside of the box in terms of the type of businesses they could venture into. The second one, Chair, is the issue of the red tape reduction. That has been spoken about for a very long time. And you find that the department, even the president has got initiatives to try and deal with the red tape. So what I wanted to find out is that what has the department actively done to minimize the issue of the red tape and reduce these red tapes as we see in the country? The other issue, it is what has been done to deal with the issue of the late payments that SMMEs are subjected to by government departments? Because it is an issue that is continuously killing small businesses, because their cash flow, they can't survive with a turnaround time of 90 days for their invoices to be paid. So that is another question. Recently, Chair, there was the Portfolio Committee's oversight visit to the Northwest, where some of the spaza shop owners complained about the unfair competition between then and foreign-owned spaza shops. And the reality is that the local spaza shops are registered complying with the laws and the requirements of the municipalities, but they have to compete with foreign spaza shop owners who are, number one, funded by their government or funded by certain cartels from their home countries to come and trade in South Africa. Sometimes they are not even legal in the country. They're not even complying with the law, culture, the requirement for anyone who is not a South African to trade in our country. They need to have a minimum investment of 5 million rand, employ a certain number of South Africans, etc. But you find that some foreign-owned, in fact, almost some foreign-owned businesses or business owners are not complying with the law. So how is this business amendment bill going to address this fair competition and the fact that some of the laws are violated by non-South Africans when it comes to such trading? You will recall that one of the research that we're exposed to is that 82% of the small business base in that province, it is basically you know, in the hands of non-South Africans? And the second question relating to this is that how is the business amendment bill going to ensure the revival of plazas and that South Africans are able to take that take up space and dominate the SMME plaza shop sector? Because in my view, with the realities of the high unemployment rate, high poverty rate, any form of the economy does matter. We can't be happy when our people are going to sleep outside post offices for 350 rand per month, whereas there is an economy, even if it guarantees them a profit of 10,000 a month, it is way, way better than 350 rand per month. So how is the bill going to in that space of the SME sector, the dominance, it is going to be South African citizens? Those were the concerns or questions that I had. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lubengo.
Thank you, Chair. Let me welcome the presentation done by the department. Chairperson, during our Northwest oversight, we visited Optimum Harvest Youth Cooperative.
Okay.
And they reported to us that they received 350,000 from the cooperative incentive scheme. While on the beneficiary list, they've been given 800,000. Can we get clarity on that, Chairperson? Because what is happening on papers, that's not a true reflection on what is happening on our beneficiaries on the ground level. I thank you, Shepherd.
Thank you, Honorable Lubengo. Honorable Aitron.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I've got a couple of questions that I want to ask. I must say that we have had a very interesting oversight, and the oversight is something that has really shocked us with regards to what's happening on the ground. I want to find out what steps are the department planning to take regarding our oversight findings on the excessive interest rates charged by intermediaries on the most vulnerable groups, our people, our voters. What is the department going? Secondly, I want to know what is the department doing about CIFA's failure to inform the beneficiaries of the Kula Credit Guarantee Scheme SPASA facility of the 7,000 rand grant that was supposed to have reached the intended beneficiaries in March of 2022 already. Thirdly, the department has introduced the innovative game changer program. Can the department expand on practically how it is planning to implement this program, given all the other programs and priorities of the department? For now, I will pause there. Also, let me put the last one. The lack of a speedy resolution to the finalization of the National Small Enterprise Amendment Bill and Ombuds Service is tantamount to delays in justice for SMMEs in our country. In the meantime, where should SMMEs go for their grievances? Who should they turn to in case of unfair conduct? I thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable April. Members, is there further questions? Let me also put a few questions to the team, DG. You said that the business amendment bill will be tabled, and according to the department's scenario planning, the bill will be implemented. And the department wants to meet the 30-day payment of its supplier. However, it seems reluctant to engage with national or provincial departments who consistently fail to pay on time. I think in the last March 22 report, SMMEs were owed a staggering 6 billion rand by national and provincial governments. What does the department do, is going to do about this? Are we going to get that money for small businesses? The department set a performance target, but missed them by big margins, the 30% in 2021-2022. How does the department aim to achieve the NDP target of 9.9 million SMME jobs?
And obviously the rate issue has been raised. And then also concretely, are we addressing the concerns of the merger and the time frames around it? So those are some of the questions I have. But DJ, over to you. You can now respond to the inputs and questions that members have raised. Thank you.
No,
thank you, Chair. And thank you for the question. Then you start with the question to make input. MJ, if you can start with the man, I'll add Chair, and then Jeff, you can come in on the business amendment. Thank you, Chair. Over to you, Corey.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to honorable members and our colleagues and teaching our colleagues. I don't know if I really heard you in terms of the area that we want to respond, but let me respond on the issue of the red tape. I think as we have been presenting in Parliament, and the members, honorable members may be aware that our red tape reduction program is as broad as straddling between the national up to the local government level. And we have packaged quite a number of programs that are actually dealing with the issue of red tape. At national level, for instance, we actually identify some of the regulations that are impeding small businesses, whether they are sectoral or they are generic in nature. For instance, if we may look at the sectoral regulations, we have dealt with the issue of tourism transport license, and we have managed to influence the relevant departments to begin to actually regulatory impediments that are actually stretching small businesses in that particular area. In various areas as well, we are looking at, for instance, issue of the tourism visa that we are engaging with the Department of Home Affairs. And then as we actually drizzle down the red tape reduction to the lower level, or before that, we also have concluded, as DJ alluded to, the regulatory impediment review that we have looked into 29 regulations or pieces of legislation that are impeding small businesses. We have concluded that report, and that report is actually supposed to go to cabinet so that we can be able to influence the implementation of those recommendations that are emanating out of the particular report. Implementing them through various sector departments that are affected or implicated by that particular report. But going forward, we're going to actually, as a department, also begin to, represented in terms of our plan for 2023-24 financial year, we're going to put up a plan in terms of how best can we implement that particular report, the recommendations of that particular report. And then at a municipal level, we are actually rolling out the red tape reduction awareness program, but we are actually augmenting this going forward because initially our task was basically to make sure that we workshop municipalities at a district level on the red tape reduction so that they can be able to begin to change some of the things in terms of their operations. However, we are actually trying to see if we cannot necessarily do this touch and go, but put some kind of a dashboard within a particular municipality so that when we have workshop that particular municipality, we have a particular workshop dashboard that we leave with that particular municipality so that they can actually roll out the implementation in our absence in that particular municipality. And we're planning to have some kind of a platform, an ICT platform that we're going to be utilizing going forward. Right now, it's still manualized because we are actually piloting it in the some few districts in KZN. Once we have the results and we are learning to roll it out in other municipalities, we can be able to put an ICT platform around that. And the other question, I think on the game changer, we did, I think the DJ did allude to the fact that we have received some support from our European Union program, EDSE program, where we are putting together a project management office or unit that is going to actually assist us to package these game changers properly as we actually prepare them for funding by National Treasury when the cycle of funding comes to the fore. And we however, we're not stopping in terms of that. I think the CEO of CEDA did a sterling work in terms of saying these are the areas of implementation that they are already doing. For instance, the issue of the in the area of incubation, they are already implementing some of the things that are in, within those particular game changers. And some of the game changers are actually cutting across various programs that we are implementing in the department. And one of the work that we're going to be doing with EDSP is to make sure that the programs or program managers that are relevant become program leads within the PMU, so that the PMU, when coordinates this work, the relevant managers, they are inculcated in the relevant managers' programs, so that we're not necessarily implementing them in isolation to the programs that we are implementing. In terms of the timely payment, we've been engaging with National Treasury extensively, as you know that this is part of the PFMA and is actually regulated that the suppliers in government need to be paid within 30 days. However, National Treasury, I think we know that they have been challenged by implementing that particular regulation. And as small business, I think we are actually taking upon ourselves to make sure that we influence various departments utilizing the very same regulations that National Treasury is actually implementing. Also to say National Treasury, you need to tighten up the implementation, and if you have to issue some of the regulatory prescripts around this, you've got to do that. So we are doing that, but in view of understanding that when we come up with the ombuds office, we should be able to tighten up even further, because the Ombuds Office was also looking at this particular element going forward. Right now, we're actually implementing it as part of advocacy and influence those that are supposed to be implementing this particular program. DJ, I'm not sure if I'm leaving anything outside, but these are the three areas that I wanted to touch on in terms of the questions that have been imposed. Thanks, DJ. Thanks, Jeff.
No. Thanks, Jake. Can I ask Jeff to just respond to Okay. Sorry, Chair. I don't see you on the platform. Maybe just to add one point on the challenges provided by the Mohato on the 30-day payment. It's more about the enforcement of this. The PFMA as well as the Municipal Finance Management Act is very clear that we as accounting officers will have to pay the suppliers within 30 days. And so it's more the issue of the consequence management of those principals who have accounting officers who are failing to pay within 30 days. So through the DPME as well as National Treasury, certain recommendations have been developed with possible services with Treasury, so that in their report, because they do provide a report of which departments are failing to pay within 30 days. From our side, we always remind them, write letters to them, indicating the consequences of this lack of payment. But what we've requested also from Treasury is that they must just break down this report, because currently it's just all-inclusive, so big businesses are also included in that report that gets shared by Treasury. We don't get a clear picture in terms of small businesses, exactly how many are not paid on time and how much is being owed to SMEs in particular. So that's for the two costs. Please, can they break it down, because they do have access as they receive these reports every month which talks to which invoices have not been paid within 30 days. But the other recommendations that you've also made to Treasury is that because these big entities, the Schedule 2 and 3 entities, state-owned companies, are not included in the report, and in fact, they don't include the, and we know that they have a bigger budget even than government departments. So we want them to be included so that we can also call them accountable and follow up with them as the department that responsible for the mandate of supporting small business.
presentations, Chair, that we've made to the national treasurer, the issue of accountability, but also we said as a short-term measure, why the ombuds has not been established yet, the company's tribunal can be utilized to also assist in resolving these payment disputes between big and small businesses, but also between small businesses and government, so that SMEs are not left without any resolution mechanism. Chair, on the issue of the business amendment bill that we are processing, we are specific, Chair, more around enforcement. The policies are there. They are, for example, specific measures that are called as undesirable for people who are not coming from the country, but that is not being enforced. So what we are pushing through this bill is that let's enforce these provisions or regulations that are already there in the relevant legislation. From our side, we are also pushing, Chair, that when it comes to the issue of support, as a department, we came up with the support program because we identified this gap that most of the local businesses, they do not have the advantage that by digital foreigners in most instances. So the issue of the enforcement of the 5 million investment threshold is there in the Immigration Act, which says anyone who wants to start a business in South Africa, at least they must invest 5 million. So most of the scholarships, obviously, they have not invested any funding. In fact, if they, any money that is invested is below 5 million. So it's more about, you know, enforcing the same. So it's that with the enforcement. Most of the challenges that we have, Honorable Chair, it's around enforcement. We do have these things in place, but we are also pushing, Chair, from our side, the issue of the undesirable factors, that those things must really be prioritized when it comes to us enforcing our own legislation, but also the issue of the inspectors. We are pushing for the fact that Department of Labor, they do have the labor inspectors, but we are saying maybe we can, in the meantime, also utilize them to assist us in visiting this shop to check in terms of labor issues, because they do check whether everyone who is working in this, are they registered with UIF, that's when you discover when you have people who are not supposed to be working in this particular spaza shop. But also, the other disadvantage is some of the locals who have started these spaza shops, when these illegal foreigners approaches them about them, you know, stepping off and just receiving monthly rentals, they do take that option, because that's what we've discovered in some instances, that some people, they do really prefer, you know, to just receive a monthly rental and hand over the running of this spaza shop. So it's more about the enforcement of the existing interventions that we need to push for. On the issue of the optimum harvest, that cooperative from the department side, it's true that we gave them 320,000 because the maximum amount that could have been advanced through the cooperative incentive scheme is 350,000. So they did not get the whole 800,000 from us, but our colleagues from CEDA, they've given us information in terms of what makes this 800,000. In fact, there could be more, because there are quite a number of other stakeholders that have contributed. I think NYCA, for example, they added 100,000. CEDA also did come with support, which has also been monetized up to 300,000, which includes signage, issues around the business plan, the sector-specific training. So it just builds up in terms of the amount of money. So it's not like we had approved 800,000 from our side of the department. It's money that is being indicated as contributions from other parties. We know that agriculture, for example, they're also coming on board to access the same youth cooperative. So, but what we can also do, Chair, we can submit a detailed response. But it's true, from our side as department, we did not give them the 800.
as you asked a question around the targets, the margins, we always indicate that when it comes to the targets that we indicate every department, when we achieve, for example, 99% of a particular target, we don't report that as achieved. We don't even indicate that 90% achieved. We report it as not achieved because it was giving us a lot of challenges when we have to account what is 75% of a target, what is 80%. So we just decided that even though we've spent 99,000 on a particular business, if not 100,000 as put in the target. So the numbers, the percentages, they really don't represent actually a picture in terms of what of the work that we've done. So the big margin is not, does not mean nothing was done, only 30%. It's good that it was done, but it was not done 100%. I think that's the explanation that we can advance on that chair. And then on the measure and red tape, Chair, the measure is one thing that we are really proud of. I think the cry from the entities that it does really create some sort of instability has been had. That's why we are pushing as much as possible. I did indicate, I think, yesterday that we are also looking at introducing some interim measures so that there is some sort of and people know, for example, that once the measure happens, they will just move into this particular position. It won't be, as I guess, people don't know, we know what will happen come the 1st of April 2024. So we are discussing this evening. We do have a meeting that we're going to be discussing with the entities around what interim measures and what can we do together, but we also want them to start planning together as one entity that will assist us in dealing with all the issues that have been also been raised regarding what CIDA is offering and what CIDA does not accept as good quality support. Then on the issue that was raised by Honourable April on CIDA's failure to inform beneficiaries, we had started discussions immediately, even when we were still there in the Northwest, that there needs to be a clear handover between CIDA and CIDA. So once CIDA intervenes, you provide someone with financial support, those clients' information needs to be shared with CIDA because they have a bigger reach or wider reach than CIDA. So CIDA has to know what is happening in each and every area where they are located, because it assists, because those questions were asked by those power shop beneficiaries in particular. We just got the money and no one has spoken to us since we received the money. So we did ask the guys from CIDA to start engaging with those, but all over the country, that's what will be happening going forward, that every beneficiary that has received support from this, but if I'm not sending over the information, so that CIDA does follow up and make sure that they do get better support if they need better support. So that issue of the lack of communication of the 7,000 rand would have been avoided if that was implemented, but we are implementing that going forward. Then the issue of I think I've addressed most of the issues. I don't know whether Jeff, you wanted to add anything around the business amendment bill.
Thank you very much, Chair. We are targeting that the business amendment bill should come to Parliament this financial year, and that's the aim of our target. We have already finalized the business amendment bill, and we have also finalized the policy. We are handing it over this week to the minister, who will then submit it to cabinet for public comment. And then after that, once we have finalized the public comment, we want to make sure that by not later than June, we should already come to Parliament and present the bill. And those are the timelines and the deadlines that we're working under. Definitely, the bill will be before Parliament in this financial year. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, members of the department. I've seen Honourable Kruger's hand, and I've seen it off. Are you covered, Honourable Member?
Yes,
thank you, Chair. I'm covered, but I think we still got a long, long, long way in red tape reform in South Africa. And there was one of the honourable members that mentioned that we need to talk to people outside government to fix or to reform red tape. And I agree 100%. And I think we need to sit down and start talking and not following the old stories, because we hear the same old story for the past 8 years. So I agree 100%. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. I think we also note the Andrew monitor the situation where the department says that it will come this financial year. To other support for the committee. So we note that progress, and we'll certainly keep you accountable to that. Honorable Sungula, your last bite.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, the department has been implementing the red tape reduction program, if I'm correct, since 2017. But to date, in my view, you are yet to see any report or information that is giving us tangible information on the impact. So I would want or request, Chair, if it is possible for the department to actually give us tangible information regarding the red tape reduction program. That is number one. Number two, I think it would be a good initiative to have the inspectors, because in the context of the Department of Labor, the inspectors there do inspect companies in relation to labor matters, which includes maybe the violations of immigration laws, etc. So I would want that if there could be any timeline target, so that we are holding the department accountable in the coming months or in the coming year, we're able to say this was the commitment in terms of the time frame, this was the commitment in terms of numbers, because it's well and good to have an understanding that what is the department committing to, it is very clear, so that we're able to measure its success or we're able to measure whether it is not successful. Then the last comment would be, given the fact that the business amendment is at this particular stage, is the department not concerned that there would not be enough time for the current parliament, which comes to an end sometime in May next year, for them to process the bill and make sure that the bill does get to reach finality? Is this the amount of time that is left between now and the end of the current parliament term, is it sufficient for the work to be done in terms of the processes of parliament? If not, then is there no risk that maybe the new administration would, in fact, they would need to start from scratch again in terms of getting whoever that is going to be the minister, the new administration, to start the processes again when it comes to the where the business amendment bill is. And those were my, and that's my last bite, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think so noted. Members, I think we've come to the end of this presentation of the department. Can I just check with the officials if there are any other announcements or inputs on the agenda before I close?
Chairperson, from looking from the agenda, that was the last item, because we've been on deliberations. And
thank you, Mr. Kunene. Members, with that, I will close the meeting. Thank you very much for your participation. Thank you to the two entities.
Why?
My apologies, Chair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you noted that I had like two or three follow-ups. It was not comments. So I'm not sure whether are they going to be reduced to return replies or how do we deal with them. From my side, it was follow-ups, Chairperson.
I thought they responded to some of the questions that you had around foreign nationals in our townships with the spaza shops. Do you have a follow-up? Do you have a follow-up question?
Yes, Chair. In my second bite, those were follow-up Chairpersons to the questions that were answered to. It was not new questions, it was follow-ups.
Okay, do you want them to respond to
it?
Yes, please.
Okay. Did you catch that? can you quickly respond before I close?
Yes, Chair. I think on the business amendment bill timeline, there is that risk, but what we had discussed, I know that the portfolio committee will consider taking the bill forward, because it will, for example, have to be taxed to go through the NCOP, so maybe they could be considering for combined negation, but I won't dictate to the portfolio committee how they will have to take this amendment bill to push it through, but given the its importance, I think it's something that can be taken into consideration. Then we will provide a detailed report, Chair, especially on red tape, because we can indicate the work that we have done, especially where we piloted, where we had successes and where we had failures. We can do that. And then following our engagement with Department of Employment and Labour, we can come back to the PC in terms of exactly how we're going to be working together in ensuring the or increasing the enforcement, especially when it comes to support for spaza shops. We have started engagement, especially during the COVID-19 lockdown period. We have started engagement during that period, but it's something that we are taking forward as a stopgap before the business amendment bill is also finalized. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gigi, for that clarity. Honorable Zungulo, I hope that helps. Members, yes, thank you. Members, that concludes the business of today. We want to thank you for your participation. Thanks for the entities. I think a lot of work is now ahead of us. I think we've now received both the CIPA, CEDA, and the department's presentation. We will process this. We will engage with this. We've asked questions over that. I want to thank everybody, and thanks, members, for your participation. And the session is closed, adjourned. Thank you very much.
Long live the acting chair. Well done.
Thank you, Chair.
Oh, it's
the recording has stopped.
Oh, God, you. Mm-mm, it's not, mm-mm.